Ezekiel 33, verse 7, is a passage of God to preachers specifically, but also a passage to each and every one of us as Christians, that we are to be sharing the gospel and warning everyone that we see about eternity. Ezekiel 33:7-9, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." So that is what Nathan the prophet is doing here. He is doing his duty. He sees something that has happened that he knows is not God's will. And so he goes to those in authority and shares what is going on. He gives his counsel. His good example is seen and is shared to us today in his wisdom and gentleness. He does not barge in and started accusing people of what was going on. "David, what have you done?" He didn't go in that way. He was very gentle. He starts out asking, "Hey, King David, my lord the king, have you done this? Is this done by you? And if so, okay, my job is done. I just needed to know that. But if not, you need to know what's going on, King." So it is seen in his wisdom and gentleness, his good example to us today, to preachers today, to me and the other preachers here. Matthew 10:16 tells us, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And that is what we preachers need to be. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. His good example, Nathan's good example, is seen in his zeal and courage in doing his duty, coming to King David. He's not worried about the result. Girls, look at me. Stop talking, stop whispering, you look at me. He was not worried about what would happen to him. If Adonijah did come to the throne, it is very probable that Nathan's life would be forfeit. He wasn't worried about that. And of course, we are not to be worried about those that kill the body, right? Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," God, the Lord Jesus, "which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So Nathan is a great example of a good pastor. And his watchfulness and faithfulness, his wisdom and gentleness, his zeal and courage are the good example. Because of the watchfulness of this faithful pastor, if you will, this faithful prophet, his watchfulness helped him to discern the dangers which threatened David and the kingdom. And a faithful pastor who is watchful will also be able to discern the dangers which threaten the church today. Nathan's watchfulness helped him to discover the secret plots of evil workers. And a faithful pastor who is watchful, his watchfulness will aid him to discover any secret plots of evil workers in the church today. Nathan's watchfulness aided in giving timely and important counsel in a time of grave emergency. And the watchfulness of the faithful pastor will do the same thing. He will be able to give timely counsel in emergency situations. Nathan's watchfulness caused him to put all his energy and effort toward defeating the designs of the wicked man Adonijah here. And again, the faithful pastor who is watchful, his watchfulness will cause him to put all his energy and effort toward defeating the designs of the wicked one, the devil, toward the church. Nathan's watchfulness caused carefulness in Nathan's life. I had better go do something about it right now. And watchfulness in the faithful pastor will cause him to have carefulness in his own life, in his own family, and as a result, there will be carefulness and watchfulness in the church as a whole. So Nathan is a great example to preachers today of how to be a good pastor. And then we see Nathan's counsel agreed with the will of God. Nathan's counsel agreed with the will of God. And the best counsel, young people, the best counsel that you can get will always agree with the will of God. You see, the only reason Nathan ever said anything, ever spoke up, was because he knew God had already made his will known. Verse 13 says, "Go and get thee in unto King David and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid?" He's talking to Bathsheba, what she should say. Saying, "Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign?" It was revealed to David by the Lord that Solomon was supposed to be the next ruler of Israel. David then told that to Nathan, and he made a solemn promise to Bathsheba that Solomon would reign after him. This was known to Nathan. And that fact alone is why Nathan comes to King David here and says something. He knows that what is happening is contrary to what God himself had revealed. And that's why he is forced to speak. That's why he had to come. He knew God had made his will known on the matter. And what was going on was contrary to it. And by the way, the same reason will almost always exist when anyone else today comes to you or I with some counsel to give. The reason they come to you or I is because they are of the opinion that God has something to say about it. Something to say about the situation in our life right now that we might not be seeing. That's the only reason anybody reaches out to give counsel, is because they believe God has said something about the situation in my life or yours, and perhaps I'm not seeing it. But they want me to see what God has said. That's why someone will bring counsel to another person. Now, perhaps, boy, that person over there, they really need to know this thought of mine. I have a really good thought on this situation. Now, if the counsel you may want to give someone is not from the Bible and is only your opinion, I would warn each and every one of us, do not seek out a chance to give your opinion. People really do not need more opinions, right? They've got enough opinions. We really do not need more opinions to weigh or think about unless it is God's opinion. Unless it is God's opinion. Now, if that person that you think you have a really good thought for them, I have a really good opinion, I wish I could share it with them, don't seek out to give your counsel, your opinion to them. But if that person seeks you out for your counsel, then you would be more free to share your thoughts or your opinions. However, I would still warn you, even then, you should always attempt to keep counsel spiritually based or biblically based. Okay? Not just coming from your own wisdom. Try to keep counsel Bible-based. What does God say about that situation? But above all, best counsel always agrees with the will of God. There is a key ingredient for those who seek counsel. And the key ingredient to anybody who seeks counsel is this: are you willing to obey what God says? Are you willing to obey straightforward biblical answers? Because if you're not willing to obey what God says, why are you asking about what God says? It doesn't do much good to ask counsel from anybody if your mind is already made up. Don't make up your mind about what you're going to do in your situation and then go ask counsel. All you're doing is you're asking, well, would you please agree with me? This is what I want to do. would you please tell me that I'm on the right track? Because I'm going to do this anyway. This is what I'm going to do. I've made up my mind. Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, came across this same thing. The remnant of Israel had decided to go to Egypt. That is what the elders, the men of Israel, the elders of Israel had decided in their hearts. That's the wisest course of action. We're going to go to Egypt and hide out from the king of Babylon down in Egypt. And the Egyptian Pharaoh will protect us. That's what we're going to do. But let's go find out what Jeremiah says. Let's go find out what God is going to tell us through Jeremiah. So they go to Jeremiah and they promise Jeremiah, "We will do what you say. We will do what you say. Please go ask the Lord what He wants us to do, and we swear unto you by the Lord, we will do it." Well, Jeremiah comes back. God revealed to Jeremiah that these guys are dissembling in their hearts. They've already made up their mind. They're lying to you. They are going into Egypt. And so Jeremiah plainly tells them that. And he says, "I warn you, do not go into Egypt. There will follow you judgment in Egypt. But you've already made up your heart, made up your mind. You are dissembling in your hearts. You've lied to God. And don't go into Egypt." And, of course, they went down to Egypt anyway. It doesn't do much good to ask counsel if your mind is already made up. Secondly, it doesn't do any good to ask for counsel if you are not willing to obey what God plainly says about your situation. There are some things that any preacher will simply have to pray about. Any person who has a decision to make, there are some things that the Bible is not 100% clear on. Like, for instance, if somebody asked me, "Brother Derek, is it the Lord's will that I move away?" Well, no, of course not. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the Lord's will that you move to New York or Pennsylvania or something. I'll have to pray about that. Now, if somebody comes to me and says, "Brother Derek, is it the Lord's will that I get a divorce?" Well, that one's going to be easy. Almost 99.9% of the time, the answer will be no. No. Fall in love with your spouse again. Learn to love your spouse again. Choose to love your spouse again. That's going to be the answer from God's Word. But there are some things that no preacher can know. He'll have to pray about and seek God's face on. But if there is a straightforward biblical answer to a situation, are you willing to obey God? A plain answer from God, are you willing to obey it? The key ingredient of seeking counsel is the willingness to obey straightforward biblical answers. But young people, the best counsel will always, 100% of the time, agree with the Word of God. That's the best counsel. And that is why Nathan came. He knew what the counsel from the Lord was on the situation. Solomon should be king. Thirdly, the counsel of the wise and godly should be carefully considered. The counsel of the wise and godly should be carefully considered. Now, the counsel of the wise and godly should be prompted by one thing and one thing only: an unselfish desire to carry out God's will. Anyone who gives counsel should have the desire only to carry out God's will. That was what Nathan's desire was. He desired that God's will in the situation be done. He desired Solomon to sit upon the throne of the kingdom. But God's will should be the first and highest consideration of any Christian. Not what I would like to do in the situation, or what I want to do in the situation, or what I would like to see done in the situation, but the highest consideration for every Christian ought to be, what does God want in this situation of my life? But the counsel of the wise and godly should be carefully considered, because they are prompted by an unselfish desire to carry out God's will. And by the way, sharing God's will to a person for their situation is in accordance with genuine friendship. Did you know that? Let's say it in different words. If you can shed light on what God's will is in a given circumstance of your friend's life, you are being a true friend to that person by sharing with them what God wants them to do. That's being a true friend. You are being a real friend to them, a genuine friend. Even if that person doesn't like your counsel, doesn't like what you have to say, you know, I really didn't want to know that. I really had my own ideas. I really had my own interpretation of Scripture, maybe. I wish you wouldn't have said that to me. Sorry, you are being a true friend if you shared with them what God says about something in their life. The counsel of the wise and godly should be greatly valued. Why? Because that counsel is highly valuable in emergencies. And here, this was certainly an emergency. The crown was at stake. The crown was about to pass to someone whom God did not want it to pass to. It was a grave emergency. Not only was the crown at stake, but there were lives at stake. Solomon would die, almost for sure. Bathsheba would probably die. Nathan the prophet would probably die if Adonijah was successful in taking the throne. There were lives at stake. This was an emergency. And when we receive counsel from wise and godly people in an emergency of our life, we are going to be able to say, that was valuable. That was valuable. That was wise counsel from the Lord. We're going to be thankful for it. Thirdly, this was a great emergency because the wish of the dying king was being disregarded. The wish of the dying king was being disregarded. Well, how important is that? Well, that's fairly important to the children of that dying king. You see, one of the duties of children, young people, one of the duties of children is to see to it that the last wishes of your parents are carried out within the realm of reason, morality, and Christ-likeness. If their wishes fall within the parameters of reasonableness, the parameters of morality, and the parameters of Christ-likeness, you are to fulfill your parents' last wishes. It is your duty. King David's last wishes were being thrown aside, were being disregarded. Adonijah was a disrespectful son in this manner. He was ignoring what King David wished. He was trying to usurp the throne away from his own dad. The wish of this dying king was being disregarded. Do you know, have you ever thought about it this way, that we have a king who gave us at least two examples of what his last desires were while he was dying? Ever thought about that? We have a king who gave us at least two examples. I could think of a third one regarding his mother. But at least two examples of his last desires while he was dying. And that those examples are this. He reached out to that dying thief on the cross so that just one more person would be saved. That was his dying wish. Just one more person be saved. His other dying wish, it is finished. His wish was that the work of redemption be finished. That justification, sanctification, and glorification be fully finished in every believer. That was our Lord's dying wish. It is finished. So those two things ought to hold some real strong weight in a believer's heart. Those are the dying wishes of my king. I better do what I can to see that those wishes are fulfilled. Just as a son ought or a daughter ought to see to it that their dying mother or father, their wishes are carried out. This was a great emergency, though. The crown was at stake, lives were at stake, the king's dying wishes were being disregarded, and the future of the empire was imperiled. Well, how was the future of the empire imperiled? By the wrong man coming to power. By the wrong man coming to power. We would not have Ecclesiastes, probably, or half the book of Proverbs, if Adonijah had reigned. Solomon would have been dead. We would not have a portion of our own Bible. But we would also not have seen the kingdom of Israel grow exponentially under Solomon. And the kingdom of Israel would not have been the superpower of its day like it became. The future of the empire was imperiled by the wrong man coming to power. A selfish, greedy young man. So it was definitely a great emergency. The counsel of the wise and ungodly is highly valuable in such cases. Also, the counsel of the wise and godly should provide the strongest reasons for the proper action. If you want to give counsel, your counsel should be Bible-based, and it should give the strongest reasons for the proper action. The king was informed that his own plan for the regal succession was being forcibly altered. David, was it not your plan that Solomon reign? Adonijah is changing that by force. That was a strong reason for action. Secondly, the king was reminded of his promise, his solemn oath, that Solomon would reign. They asked him, "Didst not thou swear?" That was one of the strongest reasons for David to come into action, to go into action. A man who fears God must forever be willing to uphold a promise. Let me say that again. A man who fears God, a man or a woman who fears God, must forever be willing to uphold a promise they made, especially one given before God or in His name, such as the wedding vows. If you fear God, you should forever be willing to uphold that promise. Till death do us part. And young people, that's one of the greatest reasons why you better take your time to choose your spouse. Because that oath holds true in God's eyes. It is till death do you part. The counsel of the wise and godly should be carefully considered. And that counsel, last point under that, the counsel of the wise and godly will be confirmed by others. In other words, the wise and godly counsel will not come from just one source. Well, I had one person tell me I should do this. Then don't do that. I had one source that told me I should do that. Was it the Bible that told you that? If that's the case, do it. You're one source. But if I had one person who told me to do something, don't do it. You need more confirmation than that. You see, Nathan came to Bathsheba and said, "Bathsheba, you need to go give counsel to David and tell him what's going on. Right after you give him counsel, I'll come in and confirm what you had to say. I will confirm your words." The counsel of the wise and godly will be confirmed by others. It will at least be confirmed by the Bible. Nathan confirmed Bathsheba's words. Lastly, good counsel, when quickly followed, always brings good results. Good counsel, when quickly followed, always brings good results. Now, it may not bring the full result. You know, a child is going his own way, and he's going the way of the world. He may not come all the way back right now, but there will be something good happen in his life if good counsel is quickly followed. In this case, David quickly engaged himself in the situation. He heeded the counsel of Nathan, the counsel of Bathsheba, and he promptly had Solomon crowned king. How soon? That very day. Well, what about the plans for the coronation? Didn't they want to have a great grand ceremony? Well, they probably did. But I'm sorry, it had to be done that very day. He did it that very day in order to avert what could have been a bloody civil war, and at the very least, the death of innocent people. Sometimes big plans for grand events have to be put aside for God's will to be done quickly, even today. Big plans might have to be put aside so God's will can be done right now. One lesson we should learn from this story. Sometimes we just can't have a great big fancy wedding or a great big fancy this or that because God wants it done right now. Not after we plan and get the stuff ready for it, but right now. There are even times when a rebel or even some rebels will have to be ignored in order to do God's will right now. That group of men that was meeting with Adonijah were the princes of the kingdom. The captain of the host, one of the two high priests, and they got left out. Wow. Talk about some hurt feelings that could have arisen. David, why wasn't I invited? God's will had to be done right now, and you weren't in God's will. Sometimes rebels will have to be ignored in order to do God's will quickly. There are even those times. Good counsel, when quickly followed, always brings good results, though. And we see that in this story. Solomon was crowned king. The danger was averted. The wrong man did not come to the throne. The innocent were not killed. There was a peaceful transition from one king to the other. And in our lives today, the same is true. Good counsel, when quickly followed, always brings good results. You see, even if there are not results that we can see right now, there are promised blessings for those who obey the counsel of the Word of God, which is good counsel, the best counsel, remember? So, good counsel, the best counsel, when quickly followed, always brings good results. What kind of results does the best counsel bring? Psalm 16, verse 7. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. David said, because I followed God's counsel, I am able today to say, praise God. Thank you, Lord, that I followed your counsel. It turned out so much better than it could have. Praise God that I had God's counsel and I followed it. You'll be able to bless the Lord if you follow the best counsel, the Bible. Psalm 55:14. The psalmist David says, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. You'll have sweet friendships if you follow the best counsel and do it quickly. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. There are great rewards in heaven. If you will, glory that you can have if you follow God's counsel, the Bible. You may not see the results right now. We don't see the rewards we will get in heaven right now, do we? But there are certainly rewards in heaven to have. Jesus says, I bring my reward with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So you want greater rewards? You want glory, if you will, in heaven? And by the way, not glory to keep for yourself. That glory is going to be given back to Jesus Christ. So it's not glory for us to keep. It's glory to earn, to give to Christ. Then follow God's counsel, the best counsel. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You want to be wise? Listen to God's counsel. That's the promise that God says. That's the blessing you can have if you listen to the best counsel. You will have wisdom. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Do you want your hopes, your dreams, your prayers to come to pass? Listen to the best counsel. You may have to change your dreams, you may have to change your hopes and align them with God, but then they'll come to pass. God's will come to pass. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But if you take God's counsel, His counsel always comes to pass. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. The problem with America, the problem with the young people of America, they won't listen. They will not listen to anyone's counsel but their own. Anyone's counsel but their friends. They're like Rehoboam, throwing out the counsel of the elders and listening to the counsel of the men who grew up with them. Very foolish. Very foolish. They are not wise. They end up being fools. Nathan's counsel, invaluable at the time. Without it, what would have happened? We don't know. God would have worked through someone else, I'm sure, because God's will always comes to pass. But God needed someone to step up and go to David and say, "Look, King David, this is what's happening. Is that what you want to happen? Is it from you? Is this from the Lord? Did I not get a memo here?" Good counsel and the best counsel always agrees with the will of God. The counsel of the wise and godly, and by the way, they're getting their wise and godly counsel from one source, the Bible. Their counsel should be carefully considered. Don't ever throw out an elder Christian's counsel without carefully considering it. And good counsel, when quickly followed, always brings good results. Always brings good results. Do you want good results in your life? Do you want those blessings? I will be able to bless the Lord. I'm going to have sweet company, sweet fellowship with someone. I will have glory in heaven, great reward. I will be considered wise in my latter end. The purposes that I wish were established would come to pass. Do you want those blessings in your life? Listen to God's word. Heed counsel. When a wise or godly person comes to you, listen carefully. Compare what they said with God's word and obey God's word every time. And those promises, if you do that, those promises will be yours. You will be considered wise in your latter end. You will have great reward in heaven. And you will be able to say, "Praise God. Praise the Lord that I followed His counsel. It turned out so well in my life when it could have turned out so terrible." That could be you. That could be your testimony if you will only follow the counsel, the best counsel, God's word. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the instruction that we receive from it, and thank You for the counsel that it gives to us. Lord, help each one of us, when we need counsel, to first seek Your word. What do You have to say on the matter? And Father, if we cannot discern from Your word only, than that we would go to a wise and godly brother or sister and seek counsel from them. Father, I pray that you bless each one. Help us to learn this lesson thoroughly from your word today and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.